Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite AfterBuzz TV after show begins, I'm so excited to tell you that my new cookbook is out. It's called The Every Girl's Guide to Cooking. It's the quickest, fastest, easiest, most amazing recipes for kitchen newbies and chefs alike. Please check out MariaMenounos.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning into the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Hey there, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fans! Welcome to another episode of the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. After Buzz After Show. It is good to be back!
Yeah.
We're back! In fact, we are bouncing back. That's season 3, episode 11. Bouncing back is what we're talking about tonight. If anybody dare calls me out on that being a pun, it is not a pun. It's a play on words. Anywho,
we all know how much you love puns.
Let me introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Jesse Klein.
Hi, everyone. I'm excited to be back. This episode was so awesome. I want to talk about everything with all of you. You can find me on Twitter at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one.
Zach Wilson.
Oh my God. I'm so excited that S.H.I.E.L.D. is back. Yeah. Like, it's not like I ever stop talking about Marvel television. But I miss talking about this Marvel television.
Yeah, I miss talking about Marvel television with you guys.
Oh, we missed you.
I missed you too.
We have the lovely Joyce Ajuri, who we have missed quite a lot while we were all away on Agent Carter.
I missed you guys, and I missed all of you. You can find me on Twitter at @JAjuri.
And I'm your guys' host, Megan Salinas. You guys can tweet at me at @TheMenguin. That's @TheMenguin. Guys, we are also going to be following along with the live chat for those of you guys who have, in some cases, stayed up very, very late to watch
some
us live.
Of you are up so late.
So late.
On and a school night.
So early. And then we are also going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVShield. If you guys haven't already done so, please go to iTunes, rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you. And we will get to that.
I want to correct one thing.
Uh-oh. Go right ahead.
The hashtag is now ABTV Marvel.
That.
Oh, man. That makes my Snapchat incorrect.
Well, we still have the ABTV Shield, but we do have, for those of you who don't know, we do have our own Twitter. For those of you guys who love keeping up with all of the AfterBuzz stuff on Marvel, about Marvel, we have the ABTV Marvel Twitter. So if you guys haven't already done so, you should be following that. And for those of you who didn't know, we had a little bit of a contest.
And we'll be announcing the winner later.
Later
on
tonight.
In the show.
Stay tuned.
So keep watching.
Don't touch that dial. And that's very Agent Carter. I apologize. So, guys, first of all, I just want to know, how does it all... Because we the three of us hadn't necessarily stopped talking about Marvel because we were on Agent Carter for the last several, however many weeks that was. But how does it feel for all of us to just be diving back into this show? Because the show itself doesn't seem like it's skipped a beat since we last left off at the mid-season finale.
I mean, in this episode, I felt like this is the mid-season finale was not in their best episodes, but this just kicked off exactly how I wanted it to.
Yeah, this was an action drama. Like, this was exactly what we wanted. It was like, especially since we just did Agent Carter, and before that, Zach and I did Jessica Jones, which is like on either side of the like levity spectrum. Like, one of them is very dark, one of them is very light, and this is splitting it really well for me. And I'm like, I'm having fun. That's a bummer, but I'm still having fun. And like, this was like, I loved all the action. I loved all the introductions.
Yeah.
I thought it really just like, it hit the ground running. Everything that they left at the end of the break paid off almost immediately when we got here. It was fantastic.
Yeah. I second everything you guys all said. And I love the new dynamics, and I love the new characters, the introductions. And I just, seeing everybody work together in new ways today was
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Really, really fun to watch. It was so exciting.
Yeah, we had a lot of really good dynamics of people working off of each other. We get to see Joey in his element. We get to see Mac doing what he does really well. And
getting locked next to a toilet.
He did that to Hunter.
Hunter.
Tables have turned.
Yeah. Shoes on the other foot now. Huh?
Taste your own medicine, Mac.
But
such a nice guy.
I'm actually going to disagree with you guys about the pacing, though, because I kind of feel like the pacing for the first half of this season, more so for season two of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but it's been so breakneck, and especially leading up to the mid-season finale, it was going so fast, and now that a lot of those storylines have kind of been resolved and we're moving on to something new, I feel like a lot of this is, it's slower, but not in a bad way, in like a really good, it's perfectly paced kind of way.
Yeah, I mean, what stands out to me about this episode is that it wasn't just, there's a lot of action. There was, and there was exciting powers and effects at work, and it was like you're on the edge of your seat just like, is everyone going to be okay? But there's also a deep emotion running through every piece of that. Yo-Yo's storyline with Mac, with her brother, and then you get the classic spy stuff on the Malik Coulson side. Like, this is hitting all of the notes of S.H.I.E.L.D. Right. in one episode.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, because we also are dealing, like, Roz's loss is brought up again, like, with Fitz and Simmons, we kind of are like, where's their friendship at right now? And, like, and then also Lincoln and Daisy.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like this episode was a great kind of, this is where we're at now.
Yeah, it's a good refresher for maybe people who haven't been thinking about Marvel for the past 2-3 months.
I don't know what that's like.
But apparently there are some people who are like that. But anyway, yeah, before we get too much into the character stuff, we should probably touch on this very, very, and we won't dwell on it for too long, but and maybe this is more suited towards predictions, but we should probably touch on this opening scene, because it's not necessarily in S.H.I.E.L.D. style to do an en media res opening, where you start in the middle of a story and then go back. And we start 3 months from present time.
Pretty much season finale.
Yeah.
Like, and that's about how long it'll be before the season finale.
It's the interior of a spaceship heading towards Earth with someone from S.H.I.E.L.D. inside. What looked like Yo-Yo's cross floating in the east. Yeah, in zero gravity. And it looked like it was just about to explode.
A lot of blood.
A lot of blood. Yeah.
So we obviously know that inner space travel has been a thing via the portal. Does S.H.I.E.L.D. have the capability of taking any of their aerial vehicles to space at this point?
No, but S.W.O.R.D. does.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, as far as we have seen, S.H.I.E.L.D. has no interstellar travel, like no space vehicles as of yet.
Mm-mm.
That doesn't mean one of their, like, that doesn't mean that wasn't just a plane or like vehicle that got zapped into space.
Yeah. That's
and
true.
Doesn't belong up there.
Also, we know that S.H.I.E.L.D. is friends with a lot of people on, or some people on Asgard, and some Asgardians, and they are space travelers.
Yeah.
So they could possibly borrow some technology from them as well.
Just retrofit a Quinjet.
Yeah.
We're in space now.
Yeah, why not?
Not impossible.
I think it's safe to assume that this opening scene isn't going to get paid off until the season finale, which, that's going to be an interesting thing. Do you guys think that, like, again, not to dwell too much on predictions, but do you guys think that for the rest of the episodes we'll get, like, a little bit more snippets from that opening scene? Like, every episode will open with a little bit more?
No, I think we're not going to see that again until it's being actually dealt with in real time.
All right, fair enough. Well, like I said, don't want to dwell on it too much. Let's talk about Coulson meeting the president. Because, first of all, we had somebody send us an article from, what is it, IO9 earlier, talking about how Civil War could be missing out on a huge opportunity if it doesn't acknowledge Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And watching this scene between the two of them kind of makes me wonder if they're choosing to not kind of capitalize on the fact that S.H.I.E.L.D. is part of the universe, because the president wants them all to keep doing what they're doing in the shadows and have the ATCU be the face of S.H.I.E.L.D., essentially.
That line was basically, especially with that article coming out, was basically like, oh, so that's how they're going to explain it away, is that they're like, no, but publicly, nobody knows about that. And, like, I know that, like, Iron Man has, like, all the hacking and, like, all that stuff abilities, and, like, Captain America's probably got, like, ears everywhere, and, like, Nick Fury's running around, but, like, it's not. Nobody knows about the S.H.I.E.L.D. thing.
Maria Hill certainly doesn't know. Widow certainly doesn't know.
Maria Hill knows. She's got, like, she called Coulson up last.
I'm saying that with, like, a wink. Yeah. Like, of course she doesn't know. Wink.
I also thought there was an inconsistency because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe in one of the Iron Mans, obviously not Iron Man 1, I believe they reference President Obama. And I believe that, like, the Marvel movie universe, the president, it was our current president.
I'd have to go back and rewatch. I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember either.
But I vaguely remember them talking about that and being interesting.
I mean, that said, like, I'm fine with a fictional president.
I'm fine with a fictional president as well. What I'm saying is, like, it's an inconsistency where S.H.I.E.L.D. takes place in the same world as the Marvel movies. If the Marvel movies are saying that President Obama is the president and then S.H.I.E.L.D. has a different president, it's a little different.
It's kind of like we're getting a peek into a parallel world where...
Was it Iron Man 2? Because Iron Man 2 is in 2010, so that could have been an election in 2012.
Fair enough.
Okay, true. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That's true.
All right, I'll take that. Yeah.
That being said, it is like a parallel Marvel world, if that's the case, where Obama was never re-elected.
It's just they forgot to include that or forgot that existed. Yeah.
Or they just, like, didn't feel like getting an Obama impersonator.
Yeah, exactly.
They weren't going to, like, call up, like, Jordan Peele to come in. Like,
why would they not call up Jordan Peele? That seems like the worst decision they've ever made.
He would have been fantastic.
Yeah.
Or Alpha Cat.
I feel like we've wandered off the topic.
Yes. Anyway, let's bring it back. I will say that probably, again, the most satisfying bit comes at the end of the episode when we find out that the person who Coulson is going to be doling out orders to is Talbot. And that just makes me smile, because anytime they're on screen together, it's just a gem.
They're
just a joy.
So funny to watch together. Their interactions and their relationship cracks me up. So I feel like this is going to be a good partnership again. It'll be fun to see them together.
Yeah.
Talbot's a great foil.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. And especially because he's going to be supposedly taking orders from Coulson now, whereas before it was like an alliance of convenience.
Or they always had to negotiate.
Yeah, there was always a little bit of tit for tat. Now it's very much Coulson is Talbot's boss.
Yeah, that's awesome. And as soon as, like, they say, like, we're going to assign a new person to oversee him, I'm like, Talbot! It's totally going to be Talbot. Because he's the most fun person to put in that role. Because, like, look, we got a lot of dark stuff coming in this season. Like, we're going to get hot. Like, Hive's going to be running around doing all kinds of things. That's going to be fun. And dark, and like whatever the Secret Warriors are up to is going to be dark and interesting. So why not have some fun ridiculousness of just Coulson and Talbot having
contest? We'll definitely need it.
I mean, one of the staples of the Secret Warriors comic is a lot of them died or were crippled or had to leave for reasons.
Thrown out.
Yeah, or that kind of stuff. So, I feel like it's going to be an interesting series coming up.
Yeah, no, there's going to be a lot of interesting stuff. And yeah, I'm really hoping that the Talbot Coulson stuff it gives us some much needed comic relief.
For sure.
So yeah, since you guys are talking about Secret Warriors, let's talk about the Secret Warriors, because you guys are really, really good. I mean, sometimes your theories are way out there, but you guys are also really good at predicting certain things.
I know.
I gotta say, what was it like finally seeing Yo-Yo on screen?
I mean, that was cool. That was fun. I mean, it was different.
Because she's different than she is in the comics.
Is it too much to say it was the greatest moment of my life? Is that too much? I don't have a daughter and I'm not married. But I feel like this would be better than having one of those. I mean, just seeing her powers, and like, I was like, oh, are they just gonna give her super speed? But no, she returns back to the spot that she originated at, which is such a cool way to make super speed not overpowered that they have to go back. I mean, she was super powerful, don't get me wrong, in this episode, but it is a great way to kind of handicap someone with super speed.
It puts limitations
that you know they're always going back. The fact that, like, her interactions with Max, she's not really sure about, like, she's not joining the Secret Warriors technically yet. She gets a sweet watch. I mean, you get an Apple Watch and join Secret Warriors.
Hey, man, those things are expensive.
They are so very pricey. Expensive. But
one of the many perks of the job, I suppose.
But yeah, it's so cool. And, like, just like the little things, like when Max sees her at first, the reason why he even notices her is because the tread on her shoes is worn. And, like, just, like, those tiny little things, like, and you hear the heartbeat, like, when she goes back. Like, it's just super exciting. It was a great, like, for TV super speed, it's great TV super speed.
Yeah, and keeping the keeping that limit on her powers is such a strong choice, especially in light of, like, we can't talk about super speed on TV without, like, at least mentioning the other side of the table, because The Flash is killing it right now in a lot of ways. It's a fun TV show, but it's very much the difference here is that, like, The Flash is, like, big powers. It's the gods versus the underdogs. And this is, like, when you put a limit on it, it has such a profound just effect on the character, because it forces them into a box and forces them to rely more, even in fights, on their teammates.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have, like, I'm so excited to see what she does, like, fighting alongside Daisy.
We got that brief glimpse in the police station.
She was great. I was, like, we mentioned how she's different from the comics because she's, like, older than she is in the comics, and she doesn't speak English as well as she does in the comics either. And I was expecting, when we found out we were going to see her on the screen, I was expecting her to have super speed, because that's how I interpreted her from Secret Warriors.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna agree with all you guys. Like, I like that limitation that she has, a vulnerability that, like, it's a potential vulnerability for her.
I like it because it distinguishes her from Quicksilver, because we've saw Quicksilver in the X-Men films, and we saw Quicksilver in Age of Ultron. And as cool as it is to have a speedster running around and just being generally charming and having fun slow motion scenes, I mean, like, when you have somebody like that, it can be really hard to, like, again, put limitations on them, especially when there is another show about that type of superhero that's on where he's the main character. So I like that it makes her different from the other speedsters we have on TV right now.
I also like the implication with the heartbeat, because unlike Quicksilver or The Flash or any speedster we see, her metabolism is not increased. Her body is not super speeded up. It's somehow she is going quickly and her body is at a static point, like it's still like a normal heartbeat, whereas like Quicksilver, his heart beats super fast when he's running super fast, or The Flash, his heart beats super fast and has to eat a lot because his metabolism is so increased. So it's an interesting implication. I'm sure they won't really dive into it, but it's also, like you were saying, like another way to like distinguish them. So I'm really excited. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, no.
I was just going to say, they do make another point, just talking about genetics, though. And there's this idea that initially, that inhuman powers aren't random. That there's something in the genetic code that was meant to fulfill a specific evolutionary function. And again, that's That is very interesting to think about, because this entire time we have been thinking about Inhuman powers as like spinning a wheel. It's like, what am I going to get? Am I going to turn into a giant dog? Am I going to be a door? Am I going to get laser vision? Who knows? Am I going to end up with eyes at all? Am I going to turn into a porcupine? So it's interesting to think of, at least from the Inhuman perspective, that all of the, like, that there was quote unquote intelligent design to all of these.
Yeah, that's huge.
Powers.
Here's the thing, is it they set it up as if it's like that's what his belief is
upbringing
on.
Is, yeah.
And that's what they're taught, but that doesn't mean that it's
true.
Accurate. It's sort of, I could see that as just being a tale that they've been told
as a way to rationalize the randomness.
Yeah, to rationalize the randomness of the universe. Because the universe is not necessarily apply logic to situations like this. But I could see it being encoded in DNA, but not necessarily flexible to the situations that you find yourself.
Well, I mean, fulfilling evolutionary functions from a Kree perspective.
Yeah, exactly. We already know that it's intelligent design because they're created by aliens. Like, the genetic markers that were put in them, they were made to be weapons that the Kree were going to use to take over the galaxy. So we already know that, but the implication that it's not already marked, that it's something that comes from within, or who the person is, or what's going on around them, kind of forces that like change in them, is completely different than the comic books, and also very interesting to think about. Like, why does Daisy have quake powers, and why does Lincoln have electric powers?
It also makes me think that the implications are that there are other people out there who have the same powers. Like, very much like, I don't know, an ant, like all anteaters have the same shape, face, or mouth, so they can all eat the same. You know, like, if it's an evolutionary thing, I wonder if there's like someone else out there who has the same powers as Quake, or someone else out there who has the same powers as Yo-Yo.
It would make sense from an experimental standpoint that you would want to try the same thing with different variables. So it would make sense if you get like different control groups and everything like that. I'm not going to pretend like I understand how the Kree did these experiments, but I think if you're making the argument against this, like, that maybe it was just a story that they told to rationalize it, I feel like if that's the case, then that little tidbit was dropped for the parallel that we get with Elena, a.k.a. Yo-Yo, believing that this power was a gift from God. She's rationalized it in her own way. So at the very least, we have that as like a story parallel for this particular episode.
Mm-hmm. Or a gift from fish.
Or pescado.
I love that.
Dios o pescado. It's also like, it's fun to think about, like, yeah, you could have just been eating fish. Like, not even like fish oil, like you took a pill. Yeah. Like, you could have just been, like, grilling a fish.
Can we talk about the fact that Bobby tried it, or that Hunter tried it, and that Bobby thought about trying it?
I think that's huge, because Bobby might be an Inhuman. Like, that is, like, part of her thing in the Marvel comic book universe, is she does have an enhanced body. Like, she is stronger than most people, and she's got, like just overall better than most people.
Yeah.
And
she has like a super serum, super soldier serum, kind of.
Like a different strain of
it. So she might be an Inhuman, and we, like, they might include that. I don't know if they will.
I kind of hope they don't. I like her as a human fighter. I think it makes her stronger as a character to not be. And I think that choice is perfectly suited to hurt to Bobby.
Yeah.
Like, that she's like, yeah, I want to know, but ultimately, like, I like who I am, and I don't need to have another set of powers to define me. Hunter's like, yeah, give me the advantage. Like,
give
are you
me
kidding?
X-ray vision.
Whatever advantage I can get.
Yeah.
Lamenting the fact that he can't have invisibility.
and actually, I want to point you guys in the chat. Thank you all for joining us. I wanted to try something out new tonight. So if you are in the web browser, I don't know how it works on mobile yet. It's something new we're trying. If you're on the web browser, if you go look at the video, in the top right corner, there's a little I button. And if you click on that, we have a little poll. And the poll is, would you take the fish oil or not?
answer honestly.
Yeah. Be honest.
Look inside your soul. Tell us what you see.
Think about it, because you could end up having awesome electrical powers, but you could also end up becoming allergic to oxygen. So,
which those, I couldn't tell you what sort of evolutionary trait that serves.
I couldn't either, but, you know.
Or you could become allergic to other inhumans, like that one guy was.
Yeah.
You could turn into a psychotic lash monster. You know, there you are so many things that could happen.
You could just melt stuff.
Or you could melt. Who knows?
The amazing melter.
Would you guys take the pill?
I feel like this would be a humorous thing because I, like, my first instinct is yes, give me superpowers. But then I'm like, I'm thinking of like the monkey's paw sort of thing where you get what you wish for, but then you're cursed. And so I feel like if I were to jump at it and be like, yes, give me superpowers, that I'd end up having something I'd really regret.
Yeah.
I'd do it.
Yeah. I'd probably take that pill, man.
How about you, Joyce?
I'd probably eat a bottle of those pills just in case.
I mean, it doesn't. Sure. It's all or nothing.
Yeah. Just in case, man. I'd take a bottle of them.
Also, fish oil
is good for you in general, so.
Yeah.
I mean,
it helps your hair.
Yeah.
Well, you could get a healing
cat. I can't. Like, the chance is just. I can't leave it up to chance.
Because it could ruin your life.
It could ruin my life.
Yeah. You could, and or like if we're talking about the latest Marvel movie that came out, it's not MCU related, but like you could end up getting a healing factor, but end up looking like Deadpool.
Like an avocado had sex with an older avocado.
But as we learned in the lesson of Deadpool, is love sees past that. And that's what's important. It's a love story. Take your children. Don't take your children.
Don't take your children.
There were so many kids in my theater that day, and it was very, very what's the word?
Just the thought of that makes me uncomfortable.
It was terrible.
Anyway, we're getting off topic.
Going back to the point you guys made, when they were having the discussion about Yo-Yo, and they were saying she doesn't have a record, she's like she works at a museum, she seems like a good person, and the Inhumans were like, so obviously she's doing something good. But then I think it was Mac made the point, you know, May's husband was a good guy until he got Inhuman powers, and then became a masked murderer. Like, it's completely believable that someone could get those powers and then become a monster, literally, or
but in their head, they think they're doing what's right.
Yeah, because Andrew absolutely showed no prior history of mental illness or instability or anger issues or violence. He becomes an Inhuman, and all of a sudden, all of those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I thought it was a really good point.
It's very cool, and I mean, you're changing who you are in a lot of ways. Like, because even if you don't, it doesn't directly change your personality. Like, it's not like, oh, the powers changed who you are. Like, you're a different person now.
Yeah.
Like, the difference between Ward and Hive. Like, those are two different people.
Those are two very different things.
In the same wrapper. One's a lot crinkled.
Emaciated,
But even if it doesn't, just having those powers will change your perspective on the world. It will change how you behave around others, what your approach is to just life in general. Everything about your life will change if you get powers.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go no fish oil.
Put me down
just
as...
Just like, Bobby, I'm content with my life and who I am.
Put me down as a... Very tentative, yes. It'd be one of those things where I'd, like, shut my eyes.
But in theory, you could have the same life you have now and then just add in, like, I can run across the room and grab something in an instant powers.
Or make popcorn with my mind.
The not knowing is just...
Well, we should... It's literally a coin toss. There may be intelligent design from the Kree perspective, but you have no way of being able to predict. If there was a way of being able to predict, that would be interesting.
It really
would be interesting of being able to, like, have your DNA coded, have an inhuman expert take a look at it, and be able to accurately predict how your biology and physiology would change. That would be interesting.
Well, I wonder if what Lincoln's belief holds true, I would wonder if the Kree initially set out for that to be the case, that the reason that it's bent on some kind of it bends on some kind of adaptability or evolutionary trait, is that the Kree wanted to be able to like force them to think about one thing. Like if you think about electricity at the time of Terrigenesis, you become electric powers. Or if you are if somebody like shakes you when you go through Terrigenesis, you become Quake.
A husband from the 1950s. Snap out of it!
Oh no!
Oh no! I'm giving my wife superpowers. Well, before we've talked about this, before we move on to the next topic, I do want to talk about the other Inhuman we're introduced to in this episode, and we didn't
Medusa
get his
Man?
Name. Yeah, I
that was a weird choice to use the word Medusa about an Inhuman.
Yeah, it was a very weird choice
because. I mean, Medusa is an actual Inhuman. Is she one of the royal family?
She's the queen. Correct?
She's the queen.
She's the
Inhuman.
The queen.
Yeah.
So maybe that's
she's got
just
great hair.
Maybe that's just a little nugget that they're planting. You know, a little seed for later on for the Inhumans film.
It didn't read like that. I think it was just a accident
it was
or
thrown in there.
Yeah.
It was thrown in there. But I feel terrible. I'm leading this panel. I'm the only one that hasn't read Secret Warriors. But how do you guys feel seeing a new Inhuman that wasn't necessarily there?
Well, I'm going to call him Mandusa. And I think it's great because last season we saw a lot of new Inhumans that have not been introduced in the comics. And I think keeping people who are familiar with it kind of on their toes and kind of getting to see some new powers is exciting. And it also pays off because it does, like, we didn't know that guy had powers until he took those sweet specs off and then turned everyone blue.
Which, that's a terrifying power.
Seriously.
Like, they looked pretty dead. I was really relieved when I heard them breathing. I was like, okay, yeah. they're not, like, that's, because that could easily turn into, like, a terrible, terrible thing.
The chat roll is saying he's Medusa.
Medusa.
But I like Mandusa.
I like
Mandusa.
Yeah. I like Mandusa.
Spread the hashtag Mandusa.
Hashtag Mandusa.
I just have to do a shout out to Joey Mota on the hashtag. With Hunter's luck, he would become the door.
That's probably true.
What happened to him? Poor Bobby.
One of the things that I am loving about the Secret Warriors as we're building them, like, I'm totally cool with bringing new Inhumans and like, but yeah, all that. We're slowly seeing the classic Secret Warriors team take form, not necessarily the same characters. For various reasons, it seems like we're not going to get the exact set of characters. We're getting Yo-Yo, so like Yo-Yo and Yo-Yo, same person, like with differences. But it seems like Lincoln is very much hitting into the Hellfire role.
Yeah,
because
Lincoln's a lot nicer than
he's
a lot
nicer. For now.
Yeah. Well, and he had his dark streak
he has shown some anger issues before.
Yeah, but Hellfire is just like a prick.
He is really good.
Yeah, it's not, I'm not saying it's a perfect one-to-one, but like Mac is very much, like, minus the superpowers, is very much fitting into the role that Stonewall had. If you think about it, especially that the relationship that we saw him with with Yo-Yo by the end of this.
Yeah, I mean, a little. Stonewall has so many daddy issues, though. Like, again, like, it's not a perfect one-to-one, but I like what you're going with.
Yeah, and
where it's like, they're filling out the
we don't know Mac's home life.
That's true.
We learned that he has faith in this episode. Yeah. We didn't know that. And then Angel is, for to me, very much fits into Sebastian's role, because he's a little bit like, he doesn't know, like, he's not good at asserting authority. He's a little bit like, he doesn't really necessarily belong in as like law enforcement or military. He's very powerful when you get down to it, but he might, like, I could see him having trouble down the road when he has to deal with, like, when he loses a friend. I think that's when we're going to see the druid storyline sort of play out with that character.
Yeah, that sounds right.
So I'm really loving how they're.
I noticed how you didn't talk about Phobos, my favorite character,
because we don't have. There's yeah, nobody on. There's nobody for Phobos yet, and I'm hoping that's because we're gonna get Phobos.
Me too.
And they're just like holding out on us.
Let's move past that, because I feel like if we start talking about that, we'll be talking about that until they kick us out of the studio. So before any other final thoughts on the new Inhumans that we're introduced to before we kind of move on with the rest of this episode, because there's still quite a bit to unpack, not to mention news and gossip to cover later on as well.
Well, I was corrected when I said Angel for some reason. I meant Joey.
Yeah, I kind of figured that's who you meant, but yeah, thank you for clarifying.
Just I think it's important that, you know, Yo-Yo's first introduction, she loses her cousin almost immediately. And I like that her character has this sense of right and wrong, like extremely strong, and this connectivity to, like, she didn't want to leave. She wanted to stay there. I think that's super important. Just to, her character is very different than anyone we've seen in the series, and I'm really interested in seeing it going forward. Also, I'm usually not the first one to say this, but did anyone see some sparks between her and Mac?
Yeah.
It felt like there was some sparkage going on.
I thought so.
And I'm not talking about
Lincoln. A
little bit
of love, actually.
One of them's going to have to learn a different language. Yeah. I'll just say that. A
little bit of love, actually. So, just saying.
So is it Momo or Yak Yak?
I wrote,
Worst ship names I've ever heard.
I wrote,
I want
Yo
you
Mac.
To turn around into the corner and think about what you've done, Zach, because those were terrible.
Also, for Daisy and Lincoln, I wrote Thunderquake.
Thunderquake?
Thunderquake as their ship name.
It sounds like a Transformer.
Yeah, it probably is.
Sounds like something I heard yesterday morning at 6 a.m. bright and early when it was storming in
everybody
LA.
Up. It was ridiculous.
He doesn't really have the thunder, though. He has the lightning.
I mean... In comic books, those are interchangeable a lot of times.
That is a
like
fact.
Someone's like, my powers are thunder, and they just have electricity, not sound.
Did you call it Thundercracker?
No, Thunderquake.
Thunderquake. Okay. Thundercracker is a Transformer. That's why I was like, wait a minute. Did he actually name a Transformer? Okay. So, we're going to go ahead. Before we move on.
The chat was better.
What?
Mayo.
Mayo.
That's a much, much better ship name.
I love Mayo.
Much
Sorry,
better
Zach.
Ship name.
Mayo is much
well
better.
Well
no,
done,
way
Chef.
Better.
Spread that
well
with some
done.
Garlic aioli on a sandwich.
Way to show Zach how it's done.
Full mozzarella.
Oh, it still makes me happy. Oh, that sounds so delicious. Anyway, before we move on with the show, we want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes.
Yes.
Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes, especially over the break in the interim, to rate and leave a comment. It is the best way to let our producers know that you like the show that we're putting on, and that really means a lot to us. Not only is it the highlight of our day to hear from you, because it may or may not be the highlight of my day to hear from you, but also it's a really good way of getting our name out there, making sure we're searchable, making sure that, I don't know, maybe we could get guests if we have very favorable reviews. We do our best. So it really means the world that you guys take the time to go and rate, leave a comment. It's super, super great hearing from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we have so many that I can't possibly read them all.
Did we beat Scandal?
No. But nothing you guys are killing it. We're up to 514 ratings, you guys. So like,
that's
keep
amazing.
Them coming, because that's... Every time I see that number go up, I just, like, smile.
Because we were hovering right at 500 for a little bit.
Yeah.
Now we've exceeded that, and it's
boom.
Like, the sky's the limit.
And part of that's because we had a little contest going on.
We did, indeed.
And I just want to do some shout-outs real quick to all of you guys who wrote in. Best hype man ever says... Good.
It doesn't have to be long. It just has to be
that's
concise.
That's some great hype, bro.
Yeah, he also says my name is a lie. Yeah. Thank you, Cass Graves 93, 3DM Pro, Morp.
Oh my god.
It won't go away.
I'll never escape Morp.
Fitzsimmons Fangirl says, can't wait for you guys to come back. 5,000 stars. Matt Dennis says, awesome show podcast. Continued for both seasons of Agent Carter, Daredevil, and Jessica Jones. So thank you, Matt, for watching all of ABTV Marvel. Thank you, Ash Marie, SSR Agent S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents Assemble. Kings and Queens of AfterBuzz, says S.H.I.E.L.D. Agent Joanna. Princess Heather 2, in-depth episode reviews. Yeah, that is accurate to what we are. Written Angel Marie, thank you. The 10th Plague, 8706, Tumbling Block, Jilly Bean 729, Quantinal 358, JG8472. And I want to do, and then we had a contest.
We did indeed.
Can we show off the poster that we're giving away? Which one is it? Woo. Today we're we're giving away this one. That is
dual.
Yeah,
it promotional.
I think this is perfect in all honesty.
And because there's a crossover from our Agent Carter panel, that's where we started the giveaway. So you get on one half Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and on one half Agent Carter.
It's really cool.
Are you sure we're giving that away?
I mean, it could mysteriously go missing before we
make it. We're going to give it to somebody who's been a longtime fan. Like, we went through all the reviews and everybody who wrote in and followed all the rules that we set, and go follow ABTV Marvel.
if you haven't already done so.
I want to give this poster to. I know what you were going for because I've hit that button before.
There we go. Woo!
Langley M. Neely.
Woo! Yay!
Langley, thank you so much for joining us all the time. Langley says, unapologetic love for this after show. As a longtime viewer of AfterBuzz and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, I can say without question, the show and the hosts are not only wonderfully thoughtful, but incredibly engaging. They regularly accomplish what many after shows strive for, miss, enhancing and adding to the overall experience of the shows they cover. And it's very long, and we've got a ton of stuff still to cover. But it's all there on iTunes. Langley, thank you so much. Check your mail.
Thank you, Langley. We will DM you for all that mailing information, so don't worry about that. Thank you guys again. But we still have a couple more posters here. What should we do with those?
Well, you'll just have to stay tuned and come back. Yeah. We might give away some of them live.
Suspense is killing me.
And I do have some packages to send out from like earlier giveaways that I lost and now have found.
Found package.
So yeah, guys, if you didn't win, I don't know. Keep at it. We might have some runner-up stuff later on because we've got lots of posters here that should find wonderful homes. Anywho, again, if Zach doesn't get to them first. Anyway, again, congratulations, Langley, and thank you to everybody who participated. Let's go ahead and move on. There's still a ton to touch on in this episode. We do have to talk. I was going to talk about the hunt for Malik and like the whole Von Strucker thing, but we can talk about Hive first.
Got excited.
Let's talk about Hive first. So Ward is super creepy. Like that, first of all, we got people tweeting at us before the show started saying that people who got to watch it on the East Coast feed, saying that, like, the effects for this episode really, really good. And yeah, solid CGI in this entire episode, but also freaking killer makeup job on
my
Ward.
Gosh.
I think it was a mix of both. Like, it looked like it was makeup mixed with CGI, the way they really emaciated him and made him look fragile and weird.
They really did. He was hard to look at, and you can tell from Malik, like, it was hard for Malik to see him, too.
Yeah.
If you ever had doubts about Brett Dalton's acting ability, like, from his time as Ward, like, his Ward was not, like, a super diverse character in terms of, like, what he had to do performance-wise.
Mm-hmm.
He's so creepy.
Yeah, very
plus,
creepy.
Just Ward, like, was acting himself.
Yeah.
You know, like, he was putting on a front the whole time. So, like, if you felt like his performance was a little iffy or something, like, I feel like you can get away with it as Ward because he was going...
Ward had always been putting on an act.
It wasn't creepy in that, like, something like that. It was creepy in that subtle, just like, I really don't want to talk to this person anymore.
There was something very, like, he fell within, like, a very, I can't believe I'm going to use this word, but, like, he looked inhuman. Like, he was, like, there was just something off about him where he did not seem like he was the right way, and that's because it was a dead corpse that was reanimated by a brain squid.
He's literally a zombie. Yeah, like, but a zombie with a mind that functions properly.
That apparently really likes prosciutto.
I don't know, like, I thought it was just a wad of prosciutto that he was eating off a stick. It was meant to look like raw meat, but I was like, he is so stuffing his face with prosciutto right now, and I am jealous.
He's got, like, this, like, very well, like, marbled steak on the table.
Raw steak, though.
Yeah. All raw.
He just
sits there.
Ew! Did he have to make the sound?
Yeah. But that's the thing is, it's just like, because he has this, he's watching all these screens, like absorbing human history.
Yeah, he was doing the fifth
They've
element
advanced,
thing.
They've advanced, but haven't changed.
Yeah, and it's just, it's so creepy watching him. Like, yeah. Because you know he's studying while he does it. He's, like, slowly regaining his strength and studying because of whatever evil plans and he's formulating.
And then he throws his spores into that one... I forget that guy's name.
The Iron Chef dude.
The Iron Chef guy.
He had a name. I can't remember it.
But the Iron Chef dude who can control metal?
Yeah, he had a name, and we got flack for calling him Iron Chef dude and not by his name. But, Lord, if... I can't remember. It was a while ago. We're not perfect, guys. I know that may be hard
it's
to process.
A lot of names to remember for this show.
The top of my notes are all just underlined names of people. Like, even just May, because I know off the top of my head if I'm talking about something super exciting, like, you know, May.
Or, Jesse. Zach? Joyce?
You got it!
Yay! We win this time! There's this... It wasn't... With Ward's character design, the newly reformatted Ward, his character design, I think the otherworldliness, it's not quite Uncanny Valley, but it is very alien.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Mr. Guerra.
Mr. Okay. Gear.
There we go. He has a name. That's
Mr.
great.
Mr. Gear.
The internet helped me.
Mr. Iron Chef guy.
But it's interesting that the show comes out, you know, we've been speculating for ages that he's Hive, but it's interesting that the show went and came out and, like, the week prior to the show coming back announced that it was Hive. Because there's not... You wouldn't necessarily get that it was Hive until you got to the very end of this episode. So, I don't know. Do you guys feel like they played their hand a little too soon? Or do you guys feel like it was obvious enough to where, like, it's only for promotional purposes? It doesn't really matter that much.
I'm glad they brought it out this quickly. I mean, we've been waiting to see, you know, Ward for a long time now. And I feel like if they prolonged it, it just... I don't know. I would have felt like, okay, like, what's his purpose? Like, I want to see... Like,
It would have been off. Yeah.
There's no reason to wait.
Yeah. I have friends who are huge Marvel fans that have not seen an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because they're like, I'm not interested in it. But when they saw the announcement that Hive was a part of it, they were like, I guess I'm watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. now. And I'm like, keep watching till after Captain America 2. It gets really good. And, like, I think that mixed with the Secret Warriors is going to bring a lot of hardcore fans into it. Because just saying the name Hive, like, if you've just, like, you know, read Spider-Man, you'd never come across that name. But if it's a hardcore Marvel fan, they'll know who Hive is, and that'll bring them in to come and watch the show.
Yeah, and that's such an intense character or like entity to bring into this world, because it's not the most, like, well-known villain by any means,
not at all.
But the power set, the implications behind Hive's involvement speak volumes about the faith in what this show is going to do. And so Hive can take over other bodies. They don't have to be dead necessarily, but it affects... It'll be interesting to see how they play out this one, but as far as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Jess, but the Hive can take over a living body and control it more directly, but it can also take over a dead body.
Yeah, I think the way to think about it is... like the mushroom spores that take over an ant's brain, or if you
Left
played,
for Dead.
Or if you played the Last of Us game, It's a kind of sentient hive mind that can take over a brain and use it for themselves. It can use it on a dead body, but it can also do that to a living body and kind of grow within it.
Yeah.
So, like, at the end when we saw what kind of looked like sand, I think those were spores that were going into that guy's
brain.
Yeah, and
it's going
to
grow the little squid thing.
I don't know if they're going to do a squid.
What he looks like.
Well, we saw, like, little tentacle things. Like, I only say squid because, like...
Well, in the comic books, they just have squid heads. Like,
I'm just picturing the little Futurama, the little
brain slug.
The brain slug.
Totally inconspicuous. I'm just picturing like one of the new Inhuman recruits coming to S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters. You look different today, Agent. I don't know what you are referring to, sir, but it might be this new haircut.
Yeah, but what are the hive spores that infest you gonna do for the little man?
Put on this new hat.
Oh, that's clearly not the direction the show is going, but that is a hoot.
I am changing Mandusa's name to Hypnotoad.
But the show is going clearly in the direction of Hive is not just taking over people. Hive is out to take over Inhumans.
Yes.
Yeah, people, now that it's not like relying on the, you know, person to person just to survive, you know, every however many eons between when it got a sacrifice, now that it's back on Earth and that the Inhumans are active and widespread and seemingly unpredictable, that's Hive's target. And I have a question. Once somebody is taken over by Hive, if they're still alive, if they're a dead body, because that's a lost cause, but if they're still alive when they're taken over by Hive, is there any way to reverse that, or is that person just gone? Because to me, this rings very reminiscent of a lot of like old-timey zombie stuff, like old-timey zombie lore, which actually had less to do with the living dead and more and like reanimated corpses and more to do with mind control. So that's what I'm wondering. Old-timey zombie
was explanation of slaves, like how to explain that you could do something for someone and not like rebel against them, with the white zombie lore. Hive, I believe there's precedent for people who are dead and alive being brought back after Hive has taken over in the books.
Okay.
There are a lot of Marvel mind control zombie things.
Mind control's a huge spectrum, I imagine.
There's a lot of spore and like especially with X-Men, there's some villains that are very similar. So I'm mixing them up, but I believe they're that you can come back from Hive, that there is precedence for it.
I feel like with how sinister Ward as Hive is now, like, his intention isn't to make it temporary.
No.
I feel like it's going to be, like, once I screw with you, like, you're over.
Yeah, but here's the question. If they were able to take out Ward, would that, like, assume, like, he takes over 10 people, or 15, or however many. If they take out Ward, would that in turn, like, killing the head vampire, would that fix everybody else?
I don't think so, because my understanding of Hive is that it's not like a central brain type of thing. It's more like, an octopus is actually a very good analogy for it, because an octopus's brain is technically throughout its entire body. Taking off one leg does not necessarily mean that you've killed the whole thing, even though you've killed part of the brain. It's also, if this is the origin of Hydra, the perfect explanation for where cut off one head to grow in its place comes from, because kill one body of Hive and Hive will just spread itself into two more
and become
even more powerful.
It makes sense why there are tentacles there instead of actual Hydra heads.
Sure.
Because that never made sense. Now it makes sense. All right. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about regarding Hive before we move on? Because we do have some other stuff to talk about regarding Malik.
Oh, let's keep going.
Yeah, let's
I think we all knew that we weren't completely done with Von Strucker when he went away, when he, you know, went into that coma. I didn't think that this was going to be the way we brought him back into the show.
Me neither. I had a hard time being convinced that Coulson would do something to someone who's, like, practically brain dead. Like, I felt like there was some moral issue with it. And I think Coulson voiced that briefly, where he was like,
I don't like this at all.
Yeah, he was like, I don't like this. I've been in here before. He's like, but I cannot leave the idea that, like, Malik is untouchable to be. Like, it needs to be done.
Because he's clearly, like, we the opening shot, like, after that whole 3 months from now bit, is the bloody floor where Rosalind died.
Yeah.
And so we kind of get the sense that that is still the driving force, or, you know, the you know, it's, again, the breakneck speed has slowed down, but, like, that's still very much on his mind, and that's still very much a driving force for him.
Well, I think it's the thing that makes Coulson such an interesting character, is that he's not black and white. He is very gray, and he does some stuff that we don't really like. Like, within Humans at the end of last season, he was making some choices that were questionable and not necessarily the nicest or the most morally correct thing to do.
Yeah, so it makes sense that the advice he gave fits. Like, it's all part of the job. Like, sometimes the decision is the hard one and you just have to
Which, honestly, when he said that, it sounds like something Ward would have said. And that, so when he said that, I was like, I don't think I like Coulson saying things like that.
Well, it's the thing, in the comic books, it's usually Nick Fury who is used in this role, but it's the thing to remember is Coulson is the head spy. Part of his job is killing people. Like, that's a big part of his job. He's working in a military, like, setting. Like, that's a big part of his job, and if, in order to get to Malik, he hurt someone badly, he can feel bad about it, but he's still going to do it, because that's what gets him results.
Also, like, I know he's baby Von Strucker, but he's still, like, he wasn't exactly a good guy.
No,
to begin with. Not to justify torture, but, like, he's not so innocent, even as bad as he got it. So, like, yeah, I mean, if you have to use him to get to the boss, like, you have to use him to get to the boss. Like, Gideon Malik is going to kill a lot more people.
Sure.
If he's left unchecked. Yeah. And that's basically what Coulson is able to do. He's able to get in touch with Gideon, and he at least, like, affects him. It causes him problems.
Yeah.
The Gothite industry shut down a bunch
of offices and their stock. Although, like, that's, again, it's a very interesting, when a character can be like, I'll lose millions. Big deal. That's not a huge deal for me.
If I lose a $5 bill, I am out for the rest of the week.
I know. I am livid if I can't find where I put that $5.
So I'll lose a few millions.
Lose it in my bank account.
Yes, please. Share the wealth.
Please. That would be stupendous.
Yeah. Cut off $1 and two grow in
place. Is that true?
Plates.
Is that true?
Let's test that.
No, don't do it. Don't
turn
do
your
that.
Money into confetti.
Yeah. I would love to go back to that map, because I wonder. Like, we didn't have nearly enough time to do it before we came in here, but, like, I wonder if it lines up with the, like, those maps from the Secret Warriors book of, like, all the bases.
Where the base? That'd be really, really cool. I thought it was interesting. I thought it was an interesting ploy for Coulson to just kind of announce and tell Malik, I'm after you. Like, it tactically did not seem like a great move. Like, yes, he got him to shut down some stuff, but, like, it did not seem like it would be better if Malik thought that Coulson had forgotten about him and didn't know about his power.
Or didn't know where to look.
Yeah.
Do you think Coulson would have done that had he known that Hive is in his possession?
No,
I don't.
Yeah, no.
He probably wouldn't have, has no clue. Like what he probably he's got wouldn't in store. Have,
because this was very much more about sending a message than it was actually about, you know, shutting down those millions of offices or, you know, those several offices, however many it was.
Yeah, I think it's clear that Coulson doesn't know. Like he's acting like he won.
Yeah, he thinks he won.
And like. Even looking at the way he and Fitz are talking, you know, this experience very much affected them. They think it's over. Mm-hmm. And we see Fitz having a lot of guilt because in his mind he killed Will or didn't do everything that he could have to save Will, even though we know, dramatic irony, that that's not the case. It's the same with Coulson. I don't think he would nearly be taking these sort of tactical measures if he had any reason to think that Ward slash whatever that thing is, Hive, came through the portal.
Do you guys think Ward is dead? Like, the personality, the brain, like, everything like that?
I think Ward is completely out of the picture.
I think it's more interesting if he is gone. Yeah. Like, 100% gone, because then we don't have any bit of Ward overshadowing Hive. Because then there's a possibility of, like, oh, he's still in there somewhere. And then, you know, the fangirls can be like, we can fix him. No, it's more interesting if he's just gone.
I always forget there are Ward fangirls. Yeah.
It's confusing, right?
There were, like... To be young again. During the Jessica Jones podcast, there were so many people that were Kilgrave fangirls. And I was like, oh,
you
gross.
Know, no.
You can, no. You can be a David Tennant fangirl, not a Kilgrave fangirl. Those are two very different things. Anywho.
Speaking of fangirling, Fitzsimmons?
Okay, so
are we there yet? Am I jumping in?
No. We need to talk. That's the next talking point. So thank you for that nice segue. Because Fitz is plagued with this guilt, there's been this rift between the two of them. And I wanted to know what you guys think of the way they kind of wrapped up the Fitzsimmons arc from this first half of this season, because they've had a lot of problems since the end of season one. Like, end of season one, moving to where we are now, they've had nothing but issues. And so, it's nice to see them go, let's just have a clean slate, let's start over. Whether that means romantically or not has yet to be seen, but what do you guys think?
I like the idea of them starting over, but part of me also was waiting for Fitz to grab her hand when they shook hands, like pull her close and just like be like, no, we're not taking the
a
time anymore.
A wave explodes behind them.
I mean, I just wanted it. I like that they're starting fresh and that it's going to be, you know, good for them. I know it's going to be good for them, but I also feel like, God, you've done enough of this already. Like, just
try to be together.
Just try to be together.
I mean, it's super Whedon to have two characters that the audience wants to get together, and they go through season after season of not being together, and it's just the audience wants them to be together. You guys know, and people who've listened to the podcast before, I've not liked how they've handled these two characters, and I thought this was the first time that their romance felt real, and the first time that their chemistry was earned. Yeah. And I thought it was a really good handling of these two characters. And even though it is the Whedon thing to do, to be like, let's start anew every season, I thought it was a really good way to handle it. And I'm really excited to see how this relationship goes forward.
Yeah, I agree exactly with what Jesse just said.
Third Z's.
Yeah. A lot of good stuff. Okay, we gotta move on through. But there is some quick news and gossip that we need to address.
Ooh. Real quick. Just simple.
Real quick, simple. Season 4 confirmed!
Yeah!
4. For booyah!
It puts my mind at ease in such a big way about the end of this season, because with it up in the air, I was a little nervous about how they're going to wrap this out, and like, we know with Most Wanted on the table, and
there's
like
a lot up in the air.
Carter, we don't know what the fate of Carter is yet. It was just like, but S.H.I.E.L.D. is such a centerpiece of the ABC Marvel TV universe that it's a good sign for overall what they're doing. And with the new president of the ABC group, like, holding all of the Marvel TV, other than Netflix shows, holding them in her hands,
yeah,
that is at least like, okay, so we're not losing this stuff anytime soon.
Or at least not losing S.H.I.E.L.D. for another mm-hmm. season. Yeah. So this is great.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. I think we can all agree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Exciting. All right. Apart from announcing that there's not really else, I mean, we had like a quick TV promo for Daredevil, but I mean, there's not really a whole lot to talk about.
We did a whole 40-minute preview thing with Jesse and me and Mark and Jamie.
So if you guys haven't gone to see that,
the Daredevil trailers, so you don't need more.
Yeah. You guys should go check it out. Anywho, let's go ahead and move on with predictions so that we can allow the engineers to leave before we get the hook. So, looks like the Absorbing Man ? Is coming back next episode.
Yeah. It's definitely the Absorbing Man. I don't think it's Stonewall yet.
We might
get him soon, branching off of him. But I could also see them just replacing Stonewall's role with the power set and all that with just Absorbing Man.
Yeah, in the comic books, one of the Secret Warriors, his name is Stonewall. He's Absorbing Man's son. He at first kind of has powers where he turns into a giant dragon man. and then it kind of, as the series goes on, it becomes more like Absorbing Man's powers. I think it's just going to be general. They're going to explore more Inhumans, more Secret Warriors. We're going to see some scary Hive stuff.
Yes.
mine go right along with you guys, to be perfectly honest.
I think, prediction-wise, I think we're actually going to see some genuinely positive Fitzsimmons relationship moments. I think they are going to get together, and I think this is the start of them eventually being together, because I agree with you, Jesse. I think they kind of mishandled a little bit of that the first half of the season. Anywho, but yeah, I think with Hive, I think my prediction is that people taken over by Hive, with the exception of Ward, it's not going to be readily apparent. And then I think that would make things more interesting, because then you have potential invasion of the body snatchers going on where you don't know who you can trust.
Real quick, we didn't hit Hydra 6 is a special Hydra op that took the Mandusa. So Hydra isn't as crippled as we thought it was.
Yeah.
We thought it was pretty much, like, very bare bones.
They have Black Ops teams.
They have Black Ops teams with net guns.
Yeah. With claw machine guns, let's be clear.
There's just a guy.
Has anybody been that good at a claw machine ever?
I mean, because, like, it's literally like, Carl.
That was kind of funny.
I wanted the giraffe, not the eye guy.
Which, it's funny, because, like, the only reason that worked was because Yo-Yo was incapacitated.
Yeah. It's like, I wanted the quick.
I wanted the Quake action figure.
My quick prediction, I think that we're going to see a Crusher Creel comeback story. Redemption. That's the word I was looking for. A Crusher Creel redemption story.
See his character come full circle. There we go.
Cool.
All right, guys, that just about wraps it up for the evening. Jesse Klein, where can people find you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at JessKlein1. That's JessKlein, the number one. I'll be doing the Daredevil podcast coming up pretty soon with Zach over here. And you can see me doing live comedy all over town, but specifically at the PAC Theater here in Los Angeles.
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube at ThatZachWilson, ThatZachWilson. I'm also here at AfterBuzz on a whole bunch of shows, and also occasionally over on Marvel Movie News on our sister network, The Popcorn Talk, as the voice of Doom.
Sweet. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at JAjuri. I've got a little bit of behind-the-scenes snaps of us here on the show. And you can find me on The Walking Dead podcast and